from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I kind of don't know how to feel about this.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
But my quarterback's got Truecoat. You said we would have a deal, and you said if we sat here, we would have a deal. This is my deal.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You're talking in circles. You're talking like we didn't go over this already.
Today's guests, Super Bowl winning head coach Doug Peterson, ESPN college basketball analyst Dick Vitale, plus from the new FX drama Breeders, actor Martin Freeman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All righty then. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're here on a Friday of March Madness tipping off in the state of Indiana. And that happens 15 minutes time. Virginia Tech at Florida, followed by our friends at Colgate at Arkansas, Drexel in Illinois, Utah State, Texas Tech. Bust out those brackets and remind yourself who you picked when you had no idea who was going to win most of those games.
Still don't.
Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo.
Good to see you, Rich.
One of you gents is celebrating a birthday today.
Hey!
His name is Mike Del Tufo.
Mikey!
55.
Double nickel.
As old as the Super Bowl itself. Mike Del Tufo. Good to see you over there.
Thank you, Rich.
And good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you, sir?
I'm tremendous, Rich. I'm tremendous.
I'm telling you, Mike, we tried to surprise you with a guest today. We reached out to PJ Carlissimo to call in and sing you happy birthday, kind of like, you know.
That and a bunch of names around. Yeah.
But he's about to take the microphone for Westwood One calling one of these games.
Oh.
So we tried.
We tried, Mike.
Thank you.
But that said, whatever else we could do for you over the next 3 hours.
TJ was working up a plan. We'll talk about that
later. Was that right? Okay, we're good. Yeah. We've got a ton of real estate.
That's Rising After Dark, though.
Not safe for work.
Here's what we can do. We can get Dick Vitale to sing you happy birthday.
Seton Hall alumni.
There you go.
We stepped in.
I should have stepped in.
We should have known that.
Okay, very good. I think he'll sing you happy birthday.
Okay, I'm in.
He's right in the middle of this program, right probably when the first game that's tipping off on CBS will be going to halftime. So we're keeping an eye on all of that. Virginia Tech and Florida tipping off in the great state of Indiana for the men's basketball tournament. We've all filled out our brackets. Later on, we'll reveal who our Final Four are and who our champion is going to be, and who my three children filled out brackets yesterday, and they're very excited to be competing with the all of us, you three Jamokes and Dad. So that'll be a lot of fun to keep an eye on throughout the next 3 weeks of March Madness. First up's going to be Doug Peterson. The Eagles had a press conference yesterday, and Howie Roseman, the general manager and the chief grocery shopper in Philadelphia, Nick Sirianni, the man who has placed Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, also spoke yesterday in Indianapolis. He said that the Green Bay game, that's the one where they finally said, that's the end of this, we got it, we have to see what we see in Jalen Hurts. That was a game that was deep into the Eagles season that we saw crumbling right before our very eyes. He said that's when he first hit him, that it might be over in Philadelphia for him, and that he is eager to show his new teammates in the locker room that he is a competitor, that he does have the right stuff. The word thick skin wasn't said, but that's what everyone's dancing around yeah. for Carson Wentz, and a man who does have all the answers. I don't know if we'll get many of them from him because he's one of those high class turn the page, I'm only looking at the glass half full individuals. And Doug Peterson, he'll be joining us from, I do believe he's still in the state of Louisiana, where his son had a pro day with Louisiana Monroe yesterday. He's a tight end in this crazy football world, and we'll see Doug Peterson, who's coming up for my best dad ever trophy. He was out there for his son's pro day. He'll be joining us in about 15 minutes time. And then the actor Martin Freeman, season 2 of Breeders on FX. For those who know him, you know a ton of his work. If you're watching on radio right now and you need a sort of refresher, Martin Freeman has been in such great programs as Sherlock and The British Office. And he was in Love Actually in films. He was the CIA agent in Black Panther. He's in The Hobbit. He is in Breeders on FX, and he is going to be joining us in hour number three. And I'm a huge fan of his work, and everyone who's a huge fan of The Office knows the British Office, and the American versions are available right here on Peacock, where we're available every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern time on NBC Sports on Peacock right after the Dan Patrick Show. Peacock, also future home of some football games.
I read that yesterday.
The NFL, as you know, has been working on their new television contracts that are going to be up in a couple of years. They wanted to get things done deep into the next decade, deep into this decade, through this decade, into the next decade. And they were busy taking a Disney World-sized chunk out of Disney and a Universal-sized chunk out of Comcast, and we could go on and on and on. And there were a lot of chunks taken out of a lot of television, Viacom, Fox, Amazon. So Amazon's going to be the future home of Thursday Night Football, and, you know, we're here available on a streamer every day. And, you know, Peacock was the home of one of simulcast of one of the NFL playoff games this year, the Browns beating the Steelers. You could see right here on Peacock. So we're all, as you know, very pro-streamer here on the Rich Eisen Show. And it's very exciting, exciting times. There's going to be a post-Sunday Night Football studio show, I believe, on Peacock as well. I'm reading about all this just like many other people are.
That's cool.
Amazon has been ordered up for Thursday Night Football. It's not Amazon Prime, so you can't, I mean, it might be available on Amazon Prime. What I mean by that is you can't buy it now, and it won't arrive tomorrow or later today. It will arrive in 2023. So they hit the buy it now button, but it's not delivered until 2023 season.
So it just doesn't show up in your garage when you're not at home?
Not yet. I mean, it'll still show up in the Fox packaging over the next 2 years.
But is it going to be right in front of the door so you can't open the door when you go to retrieve it?
I don't know. The Amazon people who come to my house, they ring the bell. We have nice chit-chats.
It's
like that
always right in front of the door. So when I open the door, I can't even open the door.
I'm going to get right on that with Bezos right now during the first commercial
I know you got
break. That's how I've got that sort of relationship.
Line.
Well, I mean, as you know, he's been in Roger Goodell's Super Bowl suite for the Super Bowl the last few years. You saw him there a couple years ago yourself, Chris.
I did.
And so he's been cultivating that caper for quite some time, and it got pulled off. $100 billion. You think it was like $99 billion, and they're like, you know, we need to get one more billion. I said, we got to round this thing. It can't be, we're going to round up. So there's just going to be many different ways in which the NFL will be broadcast to you, the fans, and that you'll be able to consume it. And that's pretty, pretty neat. And speaking of, you know, the Bears, they just can't, the Bears can't buy a break. Okay. And by that, I mean this. The drafting of Mitchell Trubisky, as we all know, did not work out, okay? We all know that. And by the end of the day, you know, the Trubisky signing didn't work out right from the get-go. There was one season in which it did wind up with a playoff season and a Coach of the Year season for their new head coach, Matt Nagy. That's when it kind of looked like maybe they've got something here. But even then, Bears fans were kind of like higher register. Hey, maybe we got something here. Maybe this guy from Andy Reid's staff is going to be able to cook this thing up. And we made the playoffs. And, you know, it kind of stinks that, you know, that they hit a couple of uprights. And Cody Parkey winds up on the Today Show the next day and we got to cut his ass. And, you know, I mean, Just a cautionary tale for all kickers, you know, that future misses in the playoffs. You know, if you hang with Hoda Kotb, you're going to hear about it from your employers.
That was aggressive.
I know you're a huge Hoda Kotb fan, and I just like dropping her name here on the show, just to hear if you're all listening. But even when, you know, all that was working out for the Bears, you could even talk to Bears fans just wondering if this could actually be the case. And the reason why is you saw what Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were doing at the same time. That's the problem with the drafting of Trubisky, is it even in the year in which it was the highest watermark, we all saw what Mahomes looked like, and we all saw what Deshaun Watson had already looked like. Trubisky's year where he went to the playoffs was the year that Mahomes made the AFC Championship game and lost to Brady. Okay. So even with Trubisky making the playoffs, the guy who they didn't choose instead of him made it damn near to the Super Bowl in his first year as a starter. And we saw what Watson looked like the year before and what he was looking like that year. So that's kind of the problem. And then, as we all know, as Trubisky regressed and the other two got to be all, you know, all world players, it made it look even worse. So that was the problem with the Trubisky drafting, essentially, in terms of the public relations, in terms of the ownership of a decision that Michael Wilbon, a part of the interruption 2 days ago, said would set the franchise back 10 years. We're now 4+ years into that decision, and we're halfway home. Now, obviously, you could turn that thing around, and that's the problem as well, is that the Trubisky decision gets made worse because you keep, if you're the organization, the team that made that choice in place to turn the page, and they turn the page, they try for Russell Wilson, doesn't work out. Literally, everybody in this business has heard from somebody associated with the Bears organization to tell you we tried, this is what we tried for, so on and so forth. But it makes the decision look even worse that you've kept the guy who made the wrong decision when they're like, hey, everybody, we're going to go into the first season without Trubisky, not turning the page with some bright new shiny object, although they could draft one, but not with some new huge swing for the fence acquisition, but with Andy Dalton, who, you know, you need to go hire a register to say, hey, you never know.
Yeah.
And then it's made even worse by the fact that Trubisky's next move makes all the other moves look even worse. Trubisky signs as a backup in Buffalo. And essentially, he not only signs as a backup where another team that is on the ascent, another team that is viewed as having an idea about how to put a roster together and marry it to a philosophy, another team that almost made the Super Bowl this year decides your guy that you tried to turn into, say, Josh Allen, in terms of just accomplishments, not physical stature, but you tried with your top first round choice to turn this guy into a dynamic franchise face that has a huge upside and is worthy of a 9-figure extension down the road sooner rather than later. You tried that. We evaluate him as a backup. And the rest of the league, I guess one would say, after Trubisky kicked the tires on the new league year, don't call it tampering window, and then the first few days of the new league year, the rest of the league, caused Trubisky to evaluate himself as, this is my best option, is to be a backup quarterback. And on top of it, not just any backup quarterback for anyone, for someone who is just getting started on a dynamite Pro Bowl, perennial Pro Bowl career, not going anywhere, going to be in Buffalo for a very long time, is about to get paid. The only way Trubisky gets on that field for Buffalo to prove his worth as maybe a starter for your team in the NFL is if something totally disastrous happens to Josh Allen. And Mitchell Trubisky acknowledges that by signing on the dotted line. So put it all together. Trubisky's drafting was questioned from the start. Even when he is in a major ascent, makes a Pro Bowl, coach takes team to playoffs, should have, in quotes, won a playoff game at home, wins coach of the year. That's even taking a backseat to, well, he's not Mahomes or Watson either, is he? Based on what we're seeing for the first 2 years. Then there's a regression. Then they turn the page. They don't get the swing for the fence acquisition. They try, don't get him. Finish up by saying, well, here's our best option, two quarterbacks who you in Chicago know are definitely not Mahomes and Watson. We're not even on the road to finding our next Mahomes and Watson, and the guy that you thought was better than Mahomes and Watson, when he does leave you, signs to be a backup for a kid that will never relinquish the job this decade unless something major unfortunate happens. And it looks like Trubisky just signed his first contract, being a very well-paid and also higher register, hey, this guy can come in and win some football games for you type backup in the league. Sorry, Bears fans. We'll take a break. Doug Peterson, the former head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, a guy 3 years removed from winning a Super Bowl. He will join us right here on the Rich Eisen Show about what happened and his future. Dick Vitale will join us as March Madness about to tip off. And Martin Freeman on hour number 3, and you throughout. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung. And that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We're on NBC Sports on Peacock. If you don't have Peacock to see us every day, you should get it because there's going to be NFL games on it coming soon. It's just going to get better and better and better. The WWE launched on the service just yesterday. So we welcome all the wrestling fans that are here. TJ Jefferson is you're our official wrestling aficionado on the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm
going to
take them down the path.
Very good. Very good. So we're all one big happy family. You can get it for free at peacocktv.com. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show is one of our favorite guests from his days as coaching with the Philadelphia Eagles and back here on the show, fresh off of the Louisiana Monroe Pro Day, where his son Josh took the field doing tight end drills under this man's watchful eye. He is Doug Peterson. How are you, Coach?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Rich. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a fun day yesterday to be with a few of the players, obviously my son out there. It's the first time I've really had to be actually on the field with him, so it was a great day. But thanks for having me on today.
Of course, you got it. So you went out there and you ran the drills. I saw some of the video. You were out there running the drills for your son and the other tight ends and others that were out there. Correct.
That's correct. I wanted to just make sure that he, put his best foot forward, obviously, and wanted to showcase what he could do and some of the other players there. So I put a little script together, about 14, 15 routes for him, and was able to kind of coach him through it and did a nice job.
Okay, and then obviously we could tell he was your son when he put up 19 reps of 225 in the weight room, right, Doug?
Well, that's not my. That didn't come from me because I didn't put up 19.
No, you did not back in your day. You never put up 19. Is that true?
Not even close. Not even close. I think back then all I had to do was 185, not 225. So that's a big difference.
Oh my gosh! I saw that number. That's a whopping fine number though. 19 reps. So how did you think he did? I mean, because you clearly know what scouts look for and what talent evaluators are looking for. What's your first blush opinion here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I obviously, you know, had to take the dad hat off for a second and just kind of watch as a you know, as a scout or a coach, and I thought he did well. You know, I mean, there's obviously some things he can continue to improve and work on, but I thought that the bench press, you know, of 19 reps was really solid. He's been training extremely hard to obviously get to that point, and he did a nice job. And the routes and the skills outside, I thought that's where he was going to be able to showcase, you know, his talent just a little bit, and some of the things that he did, you know, at Louisiana Monroe, and he was able to do that. So I thought overall he did a really nice job.
That's
and then, you know, to have, I think there was anywhere from 23, 24, 25 teams, you know, present yesterday, I thought was good, not only for him and then the players that worked out, but for the university as well.
For the program, yeah. The number I saw was 25. Were any of your Eagles friends out there as well?
Yeah. Sean Heinlein, the scout for the Eagles, who kind of scouts this area, was there and got to see him and visit and catch up with him and see how he was doing. And then several others that I've, you know, met through the years through, you know, the combine or other workouts, whatever, were there. So it was good to kind of catch up with some of these guys.
That's so cool. That's cool. Doug Peterson here, Super Bowl 52 champion head coach on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get into what some of the matters that are still at hand with you and the Eagles. When you were in the draft room and Jalen Hurts was selected, and there was no draft room, obviously, there was the pandemic. What was the thinking of drafting Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, Coach?
Well, you know, my philosophy has always been, and I really honestly have learned this throughout my career, you know, coaching and not only being a head coach, but also an assistant coach, being under, you know, Coach Reed and whatnot. But, you know, we're always continuing to look to add value, to add talent to the roster. You know, and the quarterback position obviously is no exception. You got to continue to, you know, have two. I think you got to have two guys, you know, and to be able to play in this league. And Jalen was there, and I spent a lot of time watching him, you know, the whole spring, and you know, really had an opportunity to help our roster and really look at adding that depth that we needed at the position at the time. And so, you know, it was an opportunity for us to take him, and you know, not for any immediate future, but to have a solid, you know, number two. And obviously we had Nate Sudfeld too that was competing for that role, and just wanted to add that you know, that other element to the roster. And so we were able to take Jalen there in the second round.
Well, I mean, that certainly dovetails with this philosophy that was borne out, and the fact that, you know, the Philly special trophy is you talking to number nine. You know what I mean? Like that's the second quarterback right there. So the sense, yeah. And as you know, there's so many narratives that are out there that I'm wondering if you could either put to rest or add some more to, is the starting with the drafting of Jalen Hurts kind of didn't sit well with Carson Wentz at all. Is that true? Is that a proper rationale to look at it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, you know, put words in Carson's mouth, obviously, but I can just comment maybe and say that I, you know, if I were the starter and they draft a quarterback, you know, my team drafts a quarterback that high, you know, in the draft, I'd want to know why, you know. But the thing too is you know, we also communicate with guys and want to make sure that everybody's on board. And so having those conversations with players, even with Carson going into the draft, that there is a chance that, you know, we take a quarterback, and just being open with him. And look, I wouldn't expect him to be, you know, completely satisfied. We saw it around the league, you know, with other teams. you know, you look at Green Bay and what they did there, you know, in the draft last year and whatnot. But, you know, again, it's just it's something that, listen, it's sometimes the quarterback position, I think, kind of sometimes, I don't want to say it gets overlooked, but it's sometimes if you have a player there, if you have a starter in that role, you know, you kind of skip over and say, okay, we're good in that position. Well, you can't just say you're good at any position on your roster. You got to continue to evaluate and add that depth and that competition that you want. And so we were able to pull the trigger on him and bring him into Philadelphia.
And so with Carson, you had a conversation with him prior to the draft and then after the drafting of Jalen Hurts, but he's still the starter there. And to the right.
Correct.
And so he's still the starter there. And I mean, you stuck with him a long time, you know, coach.
Yeah.
You stuck with him quite a long time during the season. And now we're hearing after the season that you and he had such a deteriorating relationship. You didn't speak to each other for weeks on end. Is that a true assumption as well?
You know, Carson was going into the 2020 season as our guy, as our starter. He's the one,
yes,
we drafted in 2016. You know, he was the one that we were going to hang our hat on and build the franchise around. And so going into the season, he was the guy. And, you know, things just began to slowly kind of unravel, I think, with the entire football team. Injuries began to creep in. You know, we lost a couple of close games. You know, things just started going a little sideways for us. And then I had to make a decision, you know, to bench him, to put him on the sideline. I had to do something to generate a spark, generate, you know, a win, the best we could. And so I made the decision to, put him on the sideline and start Jalen. And, you know, obviously we came out, I think we won our first game with Jalen and then ultimately lost the last two or three games there. But, you know, it's funny because there has been a narrative out there that, you know, he and I didn't speak, but we had conversations early on, even when I was making this decision. I wanted to make sure that he was fully, you know, prepared and understood where I was coming from in making this decision, you know, not just for him, but for the entire football team.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do that from time to time. And you know, I look back on it now and I would have done the same thing. There's nothing I wouldn't have changed in my decision making, you know, to help our football team win a game, because we weren't playing well. I mean, I said this many times too in press conferences and interviews where, you know, I've always said it's not about one guy. I never, you know, there's 11 on offense, defense, and special teams, so it's never about one guy. But sometimes when the quarterback, you know, that's the position that people look at, right? And that's the position that, okay, I gotta make a decision there, and let's see if I can't generate a spark. And so that's what I did. And we continued to talk throughout, you know, the rest of the year. If I were Carson, I'd probably be upset too, you know, and that's just the nature of sport. That's the nature of competition. I wish him nothing but the best and continue to look forward to following his career in the future.
Doug Peterson here on the Rich Eisen Show. And Jalen Hurts looked terrific. I mean, we had him on, Coach, we had him on prior to your drafting him, and I said, what's the team going to get when they draft you? And he's like, I want to be the dog. I want to be the guy that people depend on. I want to be the leader. And it just comes out of his pores and his whole story, you know, what happened to him in Alabama and Tua and then going to Oklahoma. And I think he's got the thick skin that you personally know you have to have to compete and succeed in that town. And so what do you make of the story again that Jeffrey Lurie, the owner there, wants Hurts as the guy and doesn't even want, like, let's make him successful. He's currently the only guy on the roster at the position in Philadelphia. What do you make of that right now,
Yeah.
Coach?
Well, I mean, I that's what drew me to Jalen Hurts, obviously, was that was just exactly what you were saying. You talk to his coaches, you talk to, you know, the people that are close to him, and I mean, this guy is a winner. He wants to win. He wants to put in the hard work, and he wants to put in the preparation and the time to be successful. And it's just, honestly, it's the same things we saw and still see in Carson Wentz. I mean, it's the same type of mentality. And Jalen's gone through what Carson went through last year. You know, at Alabama, he got benched for Tua, and you know, and then he came off the bench and won a big game for Alabama, and then obviously goes to Oklahoma and has a really good career there and leads them into, you know, the success that they had. But I think this guy can just use that. He uses that as motivation. He uses that as his sort of fire, burning desire to be successful, you know, on and off the football field. And I've seen reports here recently that he's working out with guys and throwing and wanting to learn and want. These are conversations he and I had when he was starting at the end of the season. He was always coming to me and asking, you know, how can I get better? How can I improve? And this is just who he is. I just think he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Doug Peterson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do you sit at any point in time? Look, there's an embarrassment of riches. You got that ring, the proverbial no one will ever take it away from you, right? Your football life before all that, the fact that you got to spend a week with family and coach your son, my goodness, at a pro day in front of 25 NFL teams. You obviously have so much to be happy about and proud of and so on. But do you ever sit around and say, what the hell just happened? Like, you know, I mean, honestly, like, it's you're 3 years removed from holding the trophy and smiling and people, you know, they're having to grease, you know, street lights and street lamps in Philadelphia to keep people from climbing them. And like, do you ever sit around and say, what the hell just happened, Doug?
I have, these past probably 2 months, since Mr. Lurie and I spoke last. I mean, I do wonder, you know, but I honestly kind of go past that. I think about the good times. I think about the 17 season, the team we had. I think about the leadership on that team and, you know, winning a championship, winning a Super Bowl. That's why we get into this business, is to win championships. And that's what Mr. Lurie hired me to do, was to win a Super Bowl or hopefully multiple Super Bowls, right, in Philadelphia. They got that done. And so I look at those moments and say, you know what, that's what I'm the most proud of, and that's what I can obviously hang my hat on. And I know things happen for a reason. I understand it, and maybe I don't understand it. You know, it kind of goes the other way too, but I'm not going to dwell on a lot of the negative, right? I'm just going to sit there and now look back on my time, my 5 years in Philadelphia, and the relationships I built, and a tremendous fan base who still reach out to me today and, you know, just thank me and the team for, you know, the championship and what we brought to that city. And, those are the things I think about probably more than anything, and that I can kind of go out, you know, on a little bit of a high note, I guess, in Philadelphia and be remembered for that.
Did you have any shots at getting back in the HC gig this January, like after everything disintegrated in Philadelphia? Did you get a call or an opportunity or two?
I through my agent talking and doing some different things, there were some small opportunities, but I had just, you know, was thinking about my next steps and what I was going to do. I just didn't want to rush back into another opportunity, another head coaching situation. I really wanted to sit back and really analyze the last 5 years. If my future brings another head coaching opportunity, obviously it's gonna make me a better head coach in the future because of what I've been through and what we've done and knowing how to win a championship and how to, you know, help build a roster that did that. And those are the things that I've thought about, and the calls that I've taken and opportunities to be a coordinator, you know, even this year in 2021 and thinking about all of that. But, you know, my heart is set on becoming a head coach again, and, okay. and that's going to be my focus.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, which is kind of dumb, though, because I know I've seen – I see Mariucci still, like, get on his – you put his hands on his knees, lean over, and talk to refs. Like, you can't get out of your blood, you know what I mean? So you do want to get – you do want to put the headset back on and be an HC in the NFL again.
I do. Okay. I really do. I really do. And I know that these 5 years in Philly have really kind of, I think, paved the way for me, you know, and how to assemble a staff, how to run an organization, how to lead a football team, and you know, how to work hard, how to prepare, and you know, put guys in position to win games. That's what it's all about. So I do have that desire to do that again one day, and that's my goal.
Coach, really appreciate the time. Congrats on having that moment with your son out on the field yesterday. That's what we call all kinds of cool. I have a sign here in front of me that says best dad ever. I got it from my kids. You're coming for my title. I mean, you know, but I can handle it. You know, I feel like I've got my resume pretty deep on that front too, but congrats on all that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the time.
Thanks.
I appreciate the time you getting on the horn and talking about a bunch of stuff that leaves a lot of people's heads scratching. And I appreciate you doing that. Thank you.
You bet, Rich. Thanks so much for having me on. And it was a great time yesterday. And I'm going to continue to focus on Josh and hopefully watch his career this summer, hopefully this fall. Well, so thanks again for having me.
You got it. I look forward to calling out his name during NFL Network's draft coverage. At the end of next
That'd
month.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I'll give you a little shout out. I'll do that.
All right.
When that happens. You take care. Thanks for the call. You got it. That's Doug Peterson right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'd be wondering too, what the hell just happened?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look, I shoot everyone straight here on the show. The guy wants to be the HC again. He's not going to sit here and say, yeah, Carson Wentz had pretty damn thin skin. But he's also a former quarterback who sat in the backup locker room watching Favre go out there every single week, week in, week out. You think he was just happy doing that? I'm sure he was, you know.
He wants to compete.
He wants to compete. He wants to get out there. So he totally understands that. But again, the sense of it is if Carson Wentz was disgruntled because Jalen Hurts gets drafted, then make sure Jalen Hurts doesn't get on the field. Just like Tom Brady did to Jimmy G, just like that famous gif of Brock Osweiler slamming his helmet down because there goes Peyton Manning.
Because he didn't have his helmet ready.
Not on the field.
Yeah.
Thought it was going to go out there. Make sure that if you're 11, make sure two doesn't get out there. What happened to Aaron Rodgers this year?
MVP.
I mean, drafting somebody at the top of the second round to back you up after there's a that's why I brought it up. The statue of that Bud Light put out there. This is not, I don't think it was something that the Eagles put out there. It's something the Eagles have kept, right, in front of Lincoln Financial, of the moment where Doug Peterson says to Nick Foles, and Nick Foles suggests, and they go back and forth about the Philly special, and that's Super Bowl.
Let's do it.
That's number 9 out there, right? If they didn't have number 9 that year, when 11 goes down here in the L.A. Coliseum because he's blowing his knee out, there is no Philly special. None. They're not greasing street lamp poles in Philadelphia. So if you're 11, you're sitting there going, okay, I get it. You know, like, they have to do this, but great. I just signed a long-term contract. You won't see him any out there. That's the thing I never understood. And again, he's not going to sit here and say, yeah, I mean, Wentz just put me on the pay no mind list. And we went down the tubes and it was a hot mess. But that sure sounds what it sounds like. And I didn't even get into game 256 because that might be for down the road here.
Definitely.
That's still too soon. That's still Fight Club too soon type stuff. That's stuff that, you know, we'll find out on a 30 for 30, maybe 15, 20 years from now. That's like,
I mean, we hope.
That, right? Well, I mean, that sort of stuff is the stuff that's in the NFL vault with why was Todd Gurley riding the bicycle so much instead of getting out on the field? That's in the NFL vault. Like, why didn't Marshawn get the ball, and why did Malcolm Butler only have one special teams play in the Super Bowl?
Ridiculous.
When the Philly Eagles were throwing the ball 19,000 yards. All that stuff's in the NFL vault. That's one of those got to get somebody sharing a beer one day and off the record. Like, you haven't heard anything about that. And there's a lot of hard feelings.
Clearly.
But the guy wants to coach again, and he is being left scratching his head sometimes. And, he's, you know, head coaches need to be positive, and they got to, you know, focus on the task ahead. I mean, they're all goal-oriented. Not a lot of them are like, you know, woe is me types, because that's what you have to be a head coach. But what the hell did happen? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take your call, set up the rest of the day. We got an upset brewing.
Oh, no.
One game in. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All right, everybody, Colgate is on top of Arkansas right now, 1-0.
Whoa.
1-0. The game has
upset.
Tipped. The game has tipped. The game has tipped, and it's taken about 90 seconds for the scoring to start. Colgate is on top of 3-seed Arkansas, 2-0. It's 2-0.
Oh, no.
Upset.
That's not the upset I'm talking about.
I know. I'm kidding.
I'm going to trash my bracket.
Virginia Tech is up 6, 2-possession lead. Did you watch the exciting finish between UCLA and MSU Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage last night? Did you watch that?
No, I was watching Lakers Hornets last
Come
night.
Come on, dude. Are you serious?
LaMelo and LeBron. What do you mean? Am I serious?
Because it's like, it's one of, it's not 82 this year. I don't know what the exact number is, but come on. This is March Madness. This is
well, no, it's not. Went up 12%. It's the play-in.
Come on, man. Like, no, it's not. Oh, by the way, fantastic. Is that Smith or is it Hoskins who actually put MSU Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage up there? Thanks, Hoskins. You know what? He's just following what the press release says.
Protocol.
That's amazing.
And 2 1-point wins. Norfolk State beats Appalachian State to the right to take on Gonzaga. And Mount St. Mary's loses. So it's Texas Southern versus my alma mater coming up on Saturday. And then looked like Wichita State was going to take that play-in game, pardon me, first four game last night. But Drake coming back like the Game 7 Raptors against the Sixers a couple of playoff games ago, playoff seasons ago.
Why bring that up?
Well, because I just wanted to see if you're listening of one of your 10 teams that you love. So it's now going to be Drake versus USC. And UCLA taking on BYU.
UC.
There you go. Now, it was great. The juices get flowing fast.
I watched a little bit yesterday.
But you're like, hey, I want to see LaMelo play his 35th professional basketball game against the Lakers.
No, but his first against the Lakers, you mean?
What does it matter?
What do you mean, what does it matter?
What, because it's the team that Lonzo used to be on? It's a Ball family piece of...
And also
he's going to avenge the trade away that Lonzo had to go to
Lonzo
bring Anthony Davis into Lonzo. It's not like... Lonzo's got to understand why he's gone.
Lonzo might be coming back to town.
What? Which town?
This town.
Big baller brand, we here to stay.
Clippers sniffing around on Lonzo.
Okay.
And secondly, LaMelo, you know, people were kind of taking his comments this week. They asked him, you know, are you excited to play against LeBron? And he was like, no, not really. So, you know, there was a little bit going on last night.
Yeah, but he's also a totally different – I don't even know if there's a letter associated with his generation yet. He's so young.
You know, he's also Rookie of the Year.
He's of the generation where
he's amazing and fun to watch.
He's of the he's only a couple of years older than the kid who told Cam Newton you're just a free agent. Which, by the way, Cam Newton never was. Really?
Yeah.
You know, I guess technically he was for a couple of weeks. You're just a free agent. You know what I mean? Like, so I do expect the LaMelo Ball generation to say about LeBron, yeah, no big deal. What's he supposed to say? This is the greatest thing ever. That's the generation now. Back in the day, it was like LeBron, like I'm playing against Kobe, playing against Mike. I mean,
look at
but
the
then
difference.
They want to beat him. You know, there's a difference. But obviously, I'm more old school. I'd rather say publicly, I respect this person. I respect this individual. Right. You are an all time great. Now I'm going to go beat your ass. In the same way that Kobe waved Karl Malone off the blocks in an All-Star game in Madison Square Garden. Like, it's my ball. But if the Ball family feels that LeBron totally orchestrated coming to Los Angeles and getting Anthony Davis at some point, rejecting out of hand Lonzo's Los Angeles drafting and Magic's thoughts on the subject and just rejecting out of hand the minute he hit the tarmac here, if the Ball family thinks that he had it in for Anthony Davis and Lonzo wound up being the collateral damage, then of course he's going to say stuff like that. None of that, however, trumps watching an actual March Madness game, which we haven't seen in two calendar years.
You're crazy.
Like, what is your deal?
First off, that's not March Madness. The first four games are not March Madness.
Tell that to MSU Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage. You're sitting there with their heads in their hands.
LaMelo had an awesome game, 26, 5, and 7, and LeBron had 37 and 8 last night.
I'm sure it was a worthy watch, and you could have flipped over towards the end of that as opposed to – you didn't watch the end of it? You didn't watch the end of –
the end of what? What happened?
UCLA was down a ton, and then they came back and forced overtime, and overtime, actually, they won it.
Great. Congratulations to them.
So
– I mean
– poll question.
What are you – you're crazy.
Poll question. Here's a poll question. Here you go. What game was it last night of the Lakers season or Lonzo's LaMelo's NBA career?
It was the first game of LaMelo against the Lakers.
Okay.
So your point of like it's game 38.
It is that. All right. So what's more worthy of a watch?
Game of LaMelo versus LeBron.
Okay.
Or a play-in game?
It doesn't matter.
What are you talking about?
It's exactly right. That's somebody's tournament life is on the line. It's great.
Wow.
You're seeing it all spill out there. UCLA versus, so you
were going nuts for Texas Southern yesterday?
These are two huge programs. UCLA is a huge program. And don't forget, long before they were MSU Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage, they were the Michigan State Spartans.
So how am I wording?
Coached by Tom Izzo.
How am I wording
That's who
this?
They are.
How am I wording
this? You can't
this?
Fit MSU Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage in a poll question.
So what was more worthy of watching last night?
Yeah. What would you – exactly. Game 37 of LaMelo's career?
No, that's not how it's
just happens
phrased.
To be one versus LeBron – first versus LeBron? Yeah, sure. LaMelo's first game versus LeBron. UCLA MSU presented by Rocket Mortgage. Yeah, man. I know what Dick Vitale will say, shame on you, as he's singing happy birthday to Mike Del Tufo in hour two. By the way, my four downs on free agency coming up.